All right, good evening, dear saints. Trust you've had a good day. We just go right into the word again this evening. As much as possible, avoid all forms of distractions and ensure that you are with your writing materials ready to take all the note that you can. All right, let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is thoroughly accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare that at the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. The series for this month is, interestingly, you know, on the backbone of what we did throughout the Navigating Your Bible. You know, as you would remember, Navigating Your Bible was a series that happened late in the year, as opposed to the earlier part of the year. We're supposed to do that, but interestingly, we've just had the culture of ending the year with the series around the love of God, and we're not going to do any different this year as well. So hopefully we're able to learn a few things, but we focus on this. We'll pay a lot of attention to our response to God love in the Navigate Your Bible series. We'll try as much as possible to pay attention to God's extension of his love towards us. Look at Luke's Gospel 24 as we start this evening. Luke's Gospel 24, yeah? So I'm basically just going to preach the same thing I just preached with the Nigerian church a couple minutes ago. So I'll just repeat that again, although that wasn't recorded, so this is recorded. Look at Luke 24. So look at verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. So what we see fundamentally on the scripture, from the scripture, is the fact that there were certain expectations that they had, or certain things they did not expect, as it were. So he called them fools. And the reason he called them fools really is because they were not thinking deep, as it were. They were not thinking deep. They were not giving their attention to God's word, primarily writings of scriptures and prophets. So where is Jesus teaching from? Jesus will be teaching from the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So he says all scriptures. What did I just say? No. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, right? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it means that God will want to teach about himself. Let's say that differently. Jesus will teach about himself from the pages of the scriptures. So any conclusion Jesus expects man to get to regarding him, where did he drive that conclusion from? From the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. You know, it was easier for Jesus to have said, this is the scar where the cane that was used to beat me. These are the scars that I have on my body. Right? This is where I was nailed. This is where my body was pierced. Bible says that he began at Moses and all the prophets and began to expound unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. So it means in Bible theology, there will be very fundamental things that we will need to agree as the conclusions of our theology, and they must be from the pages of the scripture. Look at Acts 22 in that regard. Acts 26, 22, sorry. Acts 26, 22. Acts 26, verse 22. Now it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So go to verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He now says in verse 24, and as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doeth make thee mad. So Paul was making a defense for the Christian faith in front of Festus, right? And where did he go to? He says, witnessing no other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come to pass. So Paul wanted to defend himself in front of the political stands of the governmental bodies. And where he took his conclusion from were from the pages of Moses and that of the prophets and the Psalms. Jesus was to prove his resurrection, and he took his conclusion and arrived at his conclusion by beginning from the pages of Moses, from the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So it means by default, the writings of Moses and prophets and the Psalms are very fundamental to our Christian faith. They are very fundamental to the life that we live as believers. They are very fundamental to the expectation as well that we would have as believers and as well God would have for us. So it means that when you are looking through scriptures to get to valid conclusions, ensure as much as you can to get yourself in a position to receive all that the world is saying regarding God's, regarding that subject matter, so to say. So get your heart in a position to receive all God is saying, all God the world is saying regarding any subject matter, perhaps conclusion that you want to get yourself to. Very important. So Paul will witness from the writings of the prophets and the Psalms, and he will not go outside of the confines of those writings. Very, very important. Now, we've said it over time, Jesus never quoted John. Jesus never quoted the authors of scripture, the author of the New Testament books as we call them. Jesus never quoted the book of Ephesians or Galatians. He always would have taught from Genesis to Malachi. So Genesis to Malachi sort of can serve as enough material for us to get to Christian doctrinal convictions. But you see something, the advantage we have with the writers of the epistles is that we have first-hand interpretation of Jesus using the same scripture. So it means we sort of have an advantage, either any way you like it or not, right? So the advantage we have is that there's clear expression of these things that were said, and there's also clear demonstration, as it were, the life that is expected from the pages of scriptures. So the Bible will teach certain fundamental truths, as it were, holistically, and you ought to ensure you don't eliminate your conclusion or eliminate Genesis to Malachi from your conclusion. I'll say that again, right? We are not meant to eliminate Genesis to Malachi from the doctrinal persuasions, convictions, theological stands that we have as believers. Very, 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 very important. If we're not careful, what will happen is that we will begin to take sides depending on the subject matter that we are trying to explain. Altogether, we'll begin or think or there'll be a tendency for us to take sides. So the Bible wasn't written in chapters, wasn't written in verses, written as books to communicate a story we started over time. Now, if you look at Luke 24, back to Luke 24, where we were just now, Luke 24. So it began from Moses and all the prophets, and he began to explain unto them, all right, in all the things, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44 of Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Now, look at what it says there. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. It says that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Now, we said the word there, law, as it were, is the Greek word nomos, right? And it means doctrine, teaching, illustrations, as you call it, or writings. So he says, beginning at the law, which were written rather in the law of Moses. So in the writings of Moses. So it means, let's see it again. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. That was before his crucifixion. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. So Jesus is saying that the conclusion we are getting to cannot be gotten to without the writings of Moses. That's the law of Moses. Right? We said the word there, law, is not always speaking about, or is not as a lot of us relate to it as the Ten Commandments. In the next book, in John chapter 1, you see verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. Right? So a lot of people believe that Moses is not knowing about the grace of God and all the likes. No, the Bible teaches that Moses knew that God was long-suffering, gracious, and was kind. Are we together? Exodus 34, we've seen that over time. So the law that was given by Moses has a lot to do with the teaching of God's graciousness as the reality of God, or the teaching of God's greatness, graciousness demonstrated and manifested to man. I hope you're learning something. I hope you're learning something, right? So it means that the believer ought to pay attention to the writings of Moses, right? To get a holistic view or an holistic ideology of God's word. Very, very important. Or any conclusion we want to get to in scriptures or as believers. All together. Now look at John chapter 3 verse 16. We're looking at the love of God. John 3, 16. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, right? So for God, so where, if you were to get to this conclusion, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If we were to get to that conclusion, where would you start your research from? Let me say that differently. Where would you start your investigation from? Or where would you start to build your case from? Yeah, I think that's the one I'm looking for. If we were to get a conclusion that God loves the world and gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, where would you start building your convictions from? Where would you start building your evidences from? Yet you must not forget, Jesus will start from the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Paul will start from the writings of Moses and the prophets. Altogether. So the prophets, the writings of Moses will be very fundamental in the conclusions that we draw as believers. Altogether, that's very, very important. Right? Very, very important. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the everlasting life that the believer receives, or the everlasting life that the believer would partake of, must be something that has been taught right from time. Look at 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 3. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. Look at 1 John 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Right? So it means that John is discussing manner of love in John 3. Go to verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning. Look at that one more time. This is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love. Don't forget, Jesus, Luke 29, began from the beginning. Paul, Acts 22, began from the beginning. So when the Bible says the beginning has a message, love, it means that when you go back to the writings of Moses, Genesis, and the writings of the prophets, ideally, particularly from Moses' beginning, right, you will find out that the message of love is being preached. So, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and the book of Genesis as a whole, and don't see the message of love, then it means that we've either not read well, or we don't have the right Bible. Altogether. Yeah? So the message from the beginning has been love. Okay? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Altogether, right? So he says in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, right, and was manifested unto us. So life was with the Father, manifested unto us. That which was from the beginning. So from the beginning, you know life was with the Father. When you see life was with the Father, then we now see manifested to us. What's the backbone of that theory or that theology? It is love. Because John 3 says, from the beginning, the message has been love. So 1 John now says, from the beginning, which you've heard, which you've seen, it says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us.
Right? He says in verse 2, and he has shown unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Okay? Look at verse 4. He says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of him. Hold on. So we are seeing that there have been two messages from the beginning. 1 John 3 shows us the message from the beginning is love. 1 John 1 shows us the message from the beginning. Look at it again. Verse 5, 1 John 1, 5. It says, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So there is no darkness in the light that God is. So when God comes to the stage with his light, darkness gives way. Darkness gets out of the place. Are we together? Right? So God is light, no darkness in God has been the message from time. God has life. God is light. There is no darkness in God. So it means that that has been the message from the... So, can we say it this way? The message from time has been love. And in love, we see that God is light. There is no darkness in him. All together. And God that is light has a life that has now manifested to us out of his love. So love as a concept is something that God has shown directly to us. Are we together? And that has been his plan from time. So it means actually that God did not have a different slant than love and got to a point or time T and began to now live in love. You get what I'm trying to say, right? There was no previous, you know, you say, there's something we usually, something we usually call it, right? There was no throwback of God that was different from his existence now. Yeah, some of us believe that God in his throwback was a terrible God. All together. But now in the updated picture, the updated OS, God is a loving God, right? So love has been the message from time. God is love. Like I said, now if you see your Bible, we paid a lot of attention to our response to his love. All together. In this series this month, we're going to pay a lot of attention to his expression of love. There are two angles, right? If you don't understand the expression, right, your administration will not be as succinct as it should be. It will not be beautiful. All together. So we've paid attention to what is expected. But the truth now remains that on that expectation lies the backbone by which we build whatever action we can call it. So it means that if you don't have a good understanding of the expression of love and who God is as love, your dispensation or your dispensing of love will have plenty question marks. So what does John, so who is the author of John 3, right? John, yeah. What does he say? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is the one that is full of love right from time. So the moment you can start counting time, even before time, God is love. The message God has been given from the beginning is the message of love. Are we together? Look at Romans. Hold your hands in 1 John 3 and go to Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. 5, 8. My mind is in two different places. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that. Don't forget, you're in 1 John 3, 1 John 1, John 3, 16. So it says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are we together? Right? So was it when Christ died that God decided to be a God of love? No. Are we together? So God is the God of love. God is the one that gives love. Right? God is the one that has always been full of love right from the very beginning, right? At no point was he something different from love or the loving God that he is right now. So when we were sinners, when humanity, right? When mankind, so before humanity, God is love. During humanity, God is love. After humanity, God is love. Please follow me all. Alright? Look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Much more than being now justified by his blood, right? We shall be saved by from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So God is the enemy loving God. 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 God is the sinner loving God. So God, the sinner loving God, hates sin. God, the enemy loving God, hates evil. You see the dilemma, right? Yeah, you see the dilemma, right? And that's what I always tell you. You cannot recruit God into actions of the flesh or the workings of the flesh. So God loves people. God does not love the evil that people do. Right? So he says, when we're enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also enjoy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12 carefully. He says, Wherefore, as by one man, verse 12, sin entered into the world. So, who brought sin to the world? Man. Are we together? Who brought sin to the world? Hold your hands. Just so you hold your hands in different books, right? Go to James. James. Somebody say, problem for the man who is still holding his Bible in different pages in this AI generation. Look at James. Are you in James? Go to James 1. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So no matter how much man tries to use evil to persuade God, God does not yield to it. Right? So you cannot recruit God into the evil work. No. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Please. I want you to follow this series very importantly. Right? It will help close up some gaps that we'll probably have as questions under the series we did last week during Navigating Your Bible. So you cannot bring God into the same boat of your evil to do evil to another man. You get the point, right? Neither tempted he any man. Look at verse 14. He says, but every man is tempted. How? When the man is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So what is sin? Sin is man-made. How did death come into the scene? Death came into the scene by sin. You get the point? You get the point, right? Death came into the scene by sin. Death came into the S-E-E-N-E by S-I-N-E. You get the point, right? So sin was not something that was from the beginning. Love has always been from the beginning. Love sets the template. Sin came into the midst of love. Are we together? Then when sin came, what now happens? Death now came. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Paul in Romans is teaching the same thing James is teaching in James chapter 1. It says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Exactly the same theology of James. So death is actually something that is sin made. So for some of you leaders, you're listening to the series right now. Your assignment for this month is around what happened in 3 days. In that series, we did a full track of probably about 2 hours, right? Yeah, talking about death. Right? You see, the concept of death, as it were, is actually sin made. Right? Death is sin made. Death is sin made. And the concept of sin, as it were, is actually man made. So sin is man made. Death is sin made. So death is sin made by extension man made. You get the point? Death is sin made, by extension, man-made. It's a man-made, man-made. That means made by man. You got Romans 5. Look at it again. Romans 5. It says, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death by sin, and death by sin, and death by sin. So death became sin made because sin became man-made. So that is why death will affect man, because man is the root of sin. Are you following? Right? So man is, so think about the, I got an example. So the grandfather of death is man. Did you get that? Yeah? The grandfather of death is man. The father of death is sin. Hope it's clear. Right? So there is man, there is sin, there is death. When death is talking about who is my grandfather, yeah, who brought me into existence? So look at it. When you think of your grandfather, you think of the man who brought your father into existence by you into existence. So death is now saying my father is sin. Sin is saying, well, my father is man. Are we together? That's why I say sin entered because of man. So man opened, right? And sin by default will now open. So it means that, let me say this carefully. I said this a couple years ago, right? And I just saw it right now, right? It means that in sin is all that death. Let me say it differently. I can't remember the exact words I used. But in sin, death is wrapped in sin. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah? Death is wrapped in sin. Very, very important. Right? So it means that death is inbuilt in sin. So when man touched sin, death came to the sin. You get the point, right? So man touched sin, then death came into existence, because in sin itself has death. All right? So go back to, where are you? 1 John. So you can close James, you can close Romans, go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. Look at chapter 2. My little children, this write I unto you that you sin not. Right? Yeah. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the world. Right? So there is a sacrifice required to tackle sin, so that death that is in the atmosphere on account of sin opening up is being dealt with. So that's why I would say sin no longer has dominion. So it means that, death, where is thy sting? Go to 1 Corinthians. Praise God forevermore. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yeah. Why do I talk the way I do? Right? It is because, ideally, if we don't say the things we need to say, you will actually have questions in the way we live. Yeah, you can't, like I always say, you can't live above your understanding of your God. So your understanding of how God is will reflect in how you present actions, or as it were, bring judgments to man. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, so look at 1 Corinthians, put your hands in 1 John. Man hasn't even left there, so, but we'll go back there. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Okay. So who is the great grandchild of, let me say differently, who is the grandchild of sin? Who is the grandchild of sin? Hold on. Who is the grandfather of death? Man. Are we together? Right? Who is the father of death? Sin. All right? Who is the grandchild of sin? And look at it again. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grief, where is thy victory? Altogether. So let's assume death were to have a child. There will be what you call grief. Altogether. I'm just trying to make it very dramatic for you. Right? So if you go back to chapter, the same chapter 15. Chapter 15 always gets me troublesome. Okay, look at chapter 15 and go all the way to verse 15. To verse 50, I'm sorry. To verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We saw that on Sunday, right? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, right? For the trumpet, some say that Trump is the president right now. Okay? Right? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So what did Jesus do by the resurrection to swallow up sin and its consequences and grief? Are we together, right? So he now says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grief, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. Yeah, the same thing we were teaching. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Are we together? He now says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Be therefore steadfast, dear believers, as Paul will end that. So go back to 1 John 4. 1 John 3, sorry. 1 John chapter 3. Praise God forevermore. 1 John 3, right? So what has been the message from time? God is love. God is light. Are we together? God is love. God is light. Look at John. Hold on. Sorry. Go to John 1. You're going back to 1 John, but go to John 1. So we've looked at the message from the beginning in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5, which is God is life. We looked at the message from the beginning in 1 John chapter 3 verse 11, God is life. Now look at how John speaks about the beginning in the book of John. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All right? In him was life. Okay? Look at that, what it now says. And the life was the light of men. So the message has always been that in God is life. The life is the light of men. Yeah? You should begin to think of tree of life. Is that correct? Yeah? So there's the tree of life that God gave to man. Yeah? So when you say God gave man tree of life, what did he really give? He gave man light. What did he really give? He gave man his love. So in him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. Altogether, that was the true light in verse 9, right? Which lighted every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, right? He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Altogether, right? And the Word was made flesh, that is, the Word was made human and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning, there was light. In the beginning, God is light. In the beginning, there was light. God, who is light, was at the beginning. So God, who is light, has light to give. The light that God gives to man is his life. The life he gives to man is out of his love. 1 John 3, finally, just go there this time around. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, 11 rather. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one. So love has been the message from the beginning. What is the example that, what do you call his name? John uses in verse 12, not as Cain. So it means right from the beginning, right? There's been the preaching of love. And there was an example of one who did not demonstrate love. So it means that by default, when you go back to the pages of scriptures, don't forget. We started in Luke 24. Jesus establishes facts from the beginning. Paul, Acts 22, 26, establishes fact in front of Festus from the beginning, right? In those two scenarios, we find out that every truth we actually should establish, right, should sort of have its root in the beginning. You get the point? So John is now teaching from the beginning. He says, from the beginning, the message has been love, 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 love. He now says, not as Cain. Now, listen to what he now says. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Let me ask you a question. Why was Cain put in the telegram group of the wicked one? It was because he killed. Hold on. Okay? So Cain killed. Then John said he is of the wicked one. All right? Okay? What does God have to give in Genesis? God has to give life. So it means Cain did not take from God, but took from the wicked one. Please follow me, I beg you. Okay? So Cain, so there is God in the beginning. There is the wicked one. John summarizes the ministry of Cain and says he was the admin member of the WhatsApp group of the wicked one. Why? Because he killed his brother. That's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Right? So who is the one that kills and steals and destroys? Yeah? So the devil is the one that kills, he steals, and he destroys. But I've got, look, go to John. Go to John. John, 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 John. John, John, John. So let's look at the Bible today. Are we together? John, 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 verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 10, sorry. John 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. Let's read John 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it means every time you see God killing, stealing, and destroying, it means that you can say, God, for now you are the thief. Are we together? Right? Who is the one? So you can qualify the name. You can give a name to the one who kills, steals, and destroys. The thief comes but to kill, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What did Jesus say? He says, I am come that ye might have life, that ye might have it abundantly. More abundantly just really means it a sufficient life. That's the life linked to Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. Are we together? Right? When he says, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, right? That bread is the sufficient bread that produces sufficient life. So we can say, give us today or give us this day the more abundant bread. That's the one that kills all insufficiency. Right? So Jesus says, I'm the one that gives life and gives it abundantly. It just really means I have sufficient life to give. Doesn't that make sense? When First John says, the beginning is like God is actually light. Oh, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. All together. Look at Luke. Look at Luke. Look at Luke chapter. I want to say something. I'm building or something. I want to say something. I want to say something. Yeah. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 50. Look at 51 for time. And it came to pass when the time was time now. Yeah. Ooh. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Right? And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now look at verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, this same John that knows that God is light, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elijah did. Okay. Did Elijah call down fire? Yes. Did fire respond? Yes. Did fire consume? Yes. Is he written? Yes. Was he written? Yes. Did they read it? Yes. So you can read something and yet it's not there. Okay. So did they read it? Yes. Was he written? Yes. Okay, now look at verse 55. So they made reference to Elijah. So can a man of God today wake up and say, just like the way that happened in Elijah's time, right? Fire consumed you and your household. Can a man of God say that? Yes. Can it happen? Yes. Was it written? Yes. Was that the conclusion you should have got it to? No. Yeah, because from the beginning, love has been the fulcrum by which we understand God. So this is God in the flesh. He now says in verse 55, look at verse 55 very well, Luke chapter 9, verse 55. It says, but Jesus turned and he rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life. Let me ask you a question. Who is the one that comes to destroy men's life? John 10:10, the thief. Is that correct? Yeah. The thief is the one that comes to destroy men's life. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is putting a public disclaimer. I am not a thief. Yeah, and I hope you know the word there, thief, in the Greek. Let's not look at that. Yeah. So, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, Bible interpretation is so important. Let me give you a quicker. You know that brother who, this brother called, is it Barabbas? Yeah, the one that they were trying to substitute for Jesus. Remember that story? Right? The one that they were trying to say, give us Barabbas and take Jesus and kill Jesus. Do you remember? Yeah. And you know, some translation says that he was a thief. Is that correct? Some say that he was a thief, right? Yeah. But let me ask you a question. Yeah. That word there, thief. How can a people, they clearly have a thief in their environment? The government wants them to choose between Jesus who did nothing and the thief. And they are saying to the government, take Jesus and leave the one that steals our property with us. Are we together? Yeah? Take Jesus and leave the one that steals our property with us. We prefer the thief in our midst. No, that's not the point, right? The words used there actually is a word that speaks about one who usurps authority. So it's like who you call a political leader who leads against the government. You get the point, right? Someone who causes uproar against the government. That's who he was. He wasn't the thief that was stealing. Well, you get the point, right? I didn't want to go there because of my time. So what did Jesus do? The Bible says he rebuked them that the Son of Man does not come or is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Are we together, right? So he has come to save man, not to destroy man. Look at it one more time. So let me ask you a question. At what point is the destruction of man permitted by God? If you say no point, you are correct. But if you say, there's another answer I'm looking for. Yeah? On the resurrection morning, there will be a self-destruct. You get a point? Yeah? But at what point do you say a man killing an... I just said it in Nigerian church a couple minutes ago, like I said. Right? You know, and there was a question one of us had asked on Sunday, right? And the question was around if a pastor, remember the question, a pastor who repents from his ways and now pastoring and a member of the church decides to do. I know someone had asked me a much more interesting question with much more details, right, on the back of that, you know, conversation. And my answer was very simple, and it didn't even take long. Do you remember how we went through that question on, you remember the question about someone saying they are not born again if the trumpet should sound or they ask for mercy? Remember that conversation on Sunday? Did you see how we tackled it? Did you see that everything I said would not have made sense without putting her in the picture? Did you understand what I'm saying? It wouldn't have made sense. Do you know why? Because man always has a way of looking beyond themselves and shielding themselves, as it were. So the person that asked me that question asked a very simple question. He said, right, if I don't want to go into the details, right? So if this person was doing this kind of life before, all of a sudden, yeah, is it right? The same exact question that, you know, one of us asked, you know, is it right for the church to put justice and everything? And that's a new question. It is very right for you to push justice. Just ensure that the same energy you used to push that justice for a man who is random is the same energy you used to push the justice if that man were to be your blood brother. Yeah? The exact same energy, right? So think about it this way. You imagine you had a blood brother, right, who one way or the other got into the university and got himself involved with all dynamics and all those kind of things. And eventually he got to do all manners of things. And you took out 40 days to pray and fast for your only brother, right, or your only sister, right? And you prayed and fasted. All of a sudden someone preached to them and they became born again. All of a sudden they became a pastor and they've been pastoring for years, right? And let's assume you attended the same church of that your brother. Right? You know, more often than not, right, you will rarely find the same energy that a random person would have used to push for justice. As it were. So a lot of us don't like justice. That's the truth. I went together. It's just because it doesn't touch us. Yeah, it's just because it doesn't touch us. So a lot of people who clamor for justice, as it were, no, they don't want justice. Because, let me tell you, from the part of the world where I come from, the truth remains, if justice were to prevail as a fullness of prevail, lots of us will actually have our close family members involved and caught up with it.
Yeah.
So it's easier to see it from a third party perspective and say, no. I'm going to fight for it. Yeah. You must go back and pay for your sins. That's why, and I will say it for free. And I said to the person, I said, look at, yeah, a lot of us will take Paul back to the prison if we were to be the member of his church. You get the point? What am I just trying to say? You see, there are some times that ideally we try to shift the goalpost when we're involved. And that's exactly, and you know, you must learn it in relating with people, particularly as a discipler, right? Yeah, more often than not, if you put people in the scenario, you see, do you see how we tackled that question on Sunday? Are you now saying that people should go and continue their sin? You clearly just said, for instance, that there are days where you might commit an offense at 2 o'clock, but it's in the night that God will prick your heart. What now happens if pricking does not happen, right? Did you see there was no doubt about saying, I'm going to heaven? That's how most of us are. Yeah, we always like to understand the love of God, exonerating ourselves without seeing it from the lens of God himself, from the scriptures. Yeah, I highly doubt that there are very few normal people. Let me not say, what is not normal? Yeah, because a lot of times people will do certain things from like their experience, like I said on Sunday. That's why you cannot afford to love people on account of how they think they want to be loved or how you think you want to be loved. It's how he has loved. Like we've said that over and over again, right? But the truth is that if you are free to continue whatever justice you want them to go through, as long as you are very certain that if that were to be your blood brother, you will be the one championing that his church must close down and he must go and rot in jail. Yeah, like I said, if Paul were to have members like some of us, ideally, Paul would not be able to do as much as he did. And interestingly, he didn't have people like that, and he still went to prison. Blessed be God. But you know what? He went to prison on account of the gospel. You get what I'm trying to say, right? So why did I give this example? I used this example in the last call, and I was trying to talk about self-defense. Okay. Is it wrong to learn taekwondo? One of the things my children must learn how to do is it taekwondo or judo? One of, you know, those, they must learn it. Now, and I admit, so I want to go and register and learn it. But the question I keep asking myself, why am I learning it? You know, there are some things you will get in this life, and just because you want to prove a point, you will just want to, imagine you are a black belter. You've been a black belter for 3 years. Nobody has come to attack you. One day you just leave your house at 1 a.m. because you want someone to attack you. You want to prove a point. You just leave your house at 1 a.m. and you say, no. I'm going to the street. Anybody that come, I'll attack you. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Is self-defense good? Yes. If self-defense is the means by which a man kills another man, is it good? See, we must learn to understand that there is the place for the love of God, for the love system of God, and the love system of man. You see, one of them tolerates to an extent. One of them tolerates fully. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? We don't have a single record of an apostle in self-defense killing another. Yeah. We don't. Yeah? Okay. So if a matter is taken to the hospital or to the law court or whatever, judges are come to place and all of those kind of things, right? And eventually, right, you said, somebody comes and says, oh, I dealt with this person, I was giving him a taekwondo, whatever it is, and he dropped it and everything, right? Can the government say, good, fine, yeah. Is that still against thou shalt not kill? Yes, let me tell you. You don't have a single record of Jesus self-defending himself to the point he killed another. I'm saying thou shalt not kill is thou shalt not kill regardless of the sin. Let me tell you, I did not say they want to punch you tomorrow. You don't defend yourself. Oh, that's not what I'm saying. No. But I'm saying, right, there is no single apostle. There was no single instance. What was the closest instance to self-defense in the ministry of Jesus? Just do your lips. Who knows? Eh? Okay, I'm seeing the consistency. Yeah? Yeah? The closest to self-defense in the ministry of Jesus and the apostles that we have in the Bible. Yeah? Piro. Yeah? Remember Piro? What did Peter do? They came to kill Jesus. Ideally, that's what led to his death now, eventually. They came to carry him and arrest him. What happened? And Peter took a sword and he slit the ear of the guy. What did Jesus, God in the flesh, in him is life and the light of men, do? Do you know what it means to have been calm in the midst of tension? Do you know what? You know, it's not like today where there's street light everywhere, right? There would have been light, obviously. But think, have you watched any of these gladiator movies, all those very ancient movies, and see how dark everywhere is, that they have to use lantern to shine? You know what it is for Jesus in the midst of that chaos to be as calm enough to bend down and locate where the ear is and to pick up the ear in a very calm, comported method and glue it back? Are we together? Right? Are we together? When Stephen was being stoned, you know, Peter, right? He will say some words that will kill people. Eventually, you don't have any other record of him relating with people that way again. You know why? Because he grew up. Right? So when the Bible teaches about God as love, love is not relative. Like I said earlier on, over the weeks, right? We don't see love as personal. There is unconditional, consistent love. Are you following today? Right? Yeah? So ideally, we find out that people like to receive the love of God for themselves, but they don't want other people to be partakers of it. Praise God forevermore. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Right? So what will make life easier for us is just to ensure we see everything through the lens of Christ. Now, I did not just say, like I said, that you don't go and, you know, defend yourself and you run and protect your family. But you see, let it be that no matter whatever you do that's against God's word, right, you are sincere enough to admit, yes, this is against God's word. Right, and you will read that. I remember a pastor friend of mine was asking me. He said, "If terrorists put knife on your neck and they say they want to kill you, but you will leave if you denounce Jesus, what will you do?" And I said, "Why are you asking me that kind of question?" So I was already know the answer. Like, and let me tell you the answer he gave me. The answer some of us will give. And now ask him. I said, no, you can't do that kind of question. I don't have an answer for that kind of question. Right, I don't look forward to being in that kind of scenario. But what will you do? Before they even say you will deny Jesus. Why? Because the Bible teaches that you are saved and saved forever. Imagine that was how the apostles and disciples lived their Christian life. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah? What was God expecting from the apostles at all? You see, let me say this clearly. There was no point when the apostles gathered themselves together and decided to employ people that will be guarding them to destroy their enemies or destroy those who were about to persecute them. There was no point. In fact, there was no point where it was written in scriptures, right, that they were instructed by the pastor to begin to carry self-defense ammunition. Peter was eventually killed. 90% plus of them were eventually killed. But do you see what was really different about them? What was really different about them was the fact that they paid a lot of attention to what they should pay a lot of attention to, which is what we said on Sunday. So the question, one of the questions that someone asked, right? What do you do to people who persecute the church and fail those who persecute the church, right? You pray for their hearts to turn away. Right? That's what Paul was saying in 2 Thessalonians 3, that we may be delivered. We pray for preservation. Now, Peter, I can tell you for free that Peter, Paul, and the likes, before they were eventually killed, they had escaped. They had been in scenarios that would have been their last. But guess what? There was preservation and deliverance for them. Even till the last point when they were eventually killed, right? The fact remains there was no record of them giving. Why am I saying it this way? It is simply because we need to understand what is of God, what is of the devil. The devil is the one that kills to steal. There's no need going to... in very interesting topics, yeah? I remember someone was having a conversation with me a couple years ago. These years, probably like 7-8 years ago, right? And they were saying to me that if you were the president of the country, right, and people were coming to attack your nation, right, and you had all the armory and all the gadgets, or what do you call it, all the weapons and everything, will you sit down and ask them not to, and ask your soldiers not to go defend your people? And they were trying to use that example to illustrate the love of God and how God defends his own. No, sir. That's a warp way of thinking. Very, very warp way of thinking. Is that a word? That's very warp. Because there was a point you were an enemy of God. That's the point. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You cannot use man-made system to equate that and teach about God-made system. No, you can't do that. So, because people are persecuting, and like I said, I asked a very simple question on Sunday, right? You have never in my life, in history, ever read that there was a camp of persecutors where everybody from the ruler to the end, all of them fell down and died. In fact, let me even tell you something very important. All the scriptures where you see God's people, right, and the enemies of God's people that were attacking God's people, their enemies only died, right, more often than not, by the attack of God's people on them. You get the point? Do with that whatever you want to do. You get what I'm saying? You cannot say as a president of a country, you are voted into that position to protect human life. That's the position of the government. You get the point? Yeah? But there is no record that we have. Go back to 1 John 3. Hopefully this makes sense to somebody today. 1 John 3. And that is why when you look through scriptures, you find out that God did not want the children of Israel to have the kings, the type of kings that the world had. 1 John 3. I hope you're learning something today. 1 John 3. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So does love one another, does that exempt any kind of another? No. Not asking who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. So Cain of the wicked one slew his brother. The action of slaying another is of the wicked one. Did you get what I just said? Whether it's the wicked one doing it to good people or the good people doing it to evil people. No, the act of love in the real sense is to... Go back to verse 16. It says, hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life. So did God in the flesh find himself in the midst of persecution? Yes. Did God in himself find himself in the midst of persecution? Yes. What did he not do? Do you think it's going to cause God to use? Do you think it was going to be hard? If Peter could have used words, right, to destroy the lives of Ananias and Sapphira, do you think it would be hard for Jesus to have used words to destroy everybody that wanted to arrest him and put him on the cross? No, now. So when God finds himself in the midst of persecution, let me tell you, you see, that's why God's word will not always make common sense. You don't use common sense to read Bible. You use God's sense to read Bible. You see what I'm teaching to you today? Even me, when I'm going to listen to this teaching itself, it will shock me. But you see, we don't use common sense to look through God's word. Jesus, the example of the believer, the example of the Christian, found himself in the midst of gross persecution. Are we together? And the words that came from him was, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And the words that came from, the exact thing that Jesus did was to lay down his life. Listen, remember, don't say, Pastor say I should not do self-defense. Oh. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, I'm just trying to say in the scripture, what did Jesus do? There was no form of self-defense. Jesus laid down his life. What did Stephen do? Acts 7. No self-defense. Stephen laid down his life. You can keep calling them one after the other. One after the other. What is the name given to the one, right? In which WhatsApp group is the one who kills another? Yeah, the WhatsApp group of the wicked one. In which WhatsApp group are we ideally supposed to be? The WhatsApp group of God that gives love and love only, regardless of the scenario. All together, right? So if you don't understand the love of God, right? Yeah, let me say it differently. If you understand the love of God more, right, you'll find out that ideally, your slant as a believer, right, would only reproduce the exact love of God, because God wants everybody to be saved and born again. I hope you know, right? Let me not say this. Yeah? But I hope you know that God is loving. Yeah, just leave it there. Yeah? It beats the imagination of man. It beats the logic of man. It beats the theory of man. But it is what it is. So Jesus laid down his life. Cain killed another. Jesus laid down his life. So at what point is thou shall not kill? Let me say differently. At what point is the believer exempted from thou shall not kill? At no point. So let me ask you a question. To God, will a man who killed under self-defense be equal to the man who killed that is not under self-defense? And will he be equal to another man who killed 200 and 500 people? Yet, because in the law of God, there is no cadence to what evil is. Evil is evil. Altogether, evil is evil. Like I always say, right? Just try and think of a story as well, what I'm saying, right? And try put yourself in the same narrative. So imagine the person you were doing self-defense for was your brother, or your blood brother, your blood sister, your uncle, your father. Out together, right? And ideally, what should have... Are you not aware that there are people ideally who in their innocence of self-defense, nobody was trying to do anything deadly to them, but in their self-defense, something happened. I saw a video recently of someone who was fighting with his wife and pushed him, right? And she hit her head on the staircase of the house. Right? That's self-defense. Altogether, right? But at no point is that, as it were, right, something that the believer is exempted to do. Listen to what I'm just saying. I'm just teaching you what the word says. Yeah? God's love is unconditional. That's why we say there is no extent a man can get to that God's love cannot locate him there. It sounds funny. It sounds illogical, but it's the logic of God in Christ Jesus. All together. It's the logic of God. It's the theology of God. Is the understanding of God's character. So what should always be your prayer, right, to anyone who does evil? God, their hearts change. How together? So, you know, that's what I was saying. It's easier to leave a man. If you want to really see a man, rather, go through the repercussion of what he has done, what you think he deserves or she deserves. The easier route is don't leave them in the hand of God. Leave them in the hands of man. Altogether. You get what I just said? Why? Because God is the enemy loving God. I hope you've been instructed today. God is the enemy loving God. Right? So not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. So Cain is an example of one who slew his brother. So let's go to Genesis 4 as we close today. Genesis 4. The love of God. So that's why some of us, we like the love of God. It's overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God until it's another person. Yeah. See, don't put in your mind categories of people who are far away from the love of God. For you see, there is no one who is far from the love of God. Man has a way of dividing into different segments those who are close and far from. Some of us believe that those who are close. See, God wants the most dangerous and terrible human on this earth to be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's word teaches. Altogether. Now, can a system be put in place such that before they now get saved, before they get saved, we try to cage them so that they don't keep... That's the work of the government. That's the work of the government. But let's assume you are privileged to go preach in the prison where such a man is arrested. What God expects to come out from your mouth is the message of the gospel for him to believe and get saved. Not for you to lay curses. Right? And to insult them. Genesis 4. Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and she bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again another child called Abel. Altogether. Now look at verse 10. Look at verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel to his brother and slew him. Now, is it possible that Abel, before he was slain by his brother Cain, he defended himself and killed Cain? Yeah, it's possible. But you realize that the way the Bible is written, we will never have gotten to a conclusion where Abel is used as an example of the love of God. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Look at verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground.
And now thou art caused from the earth. The word there to be caused there just means to be without or to be outside, to be separate. And now art thou caused from the earth, verse 11, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Right, look at verse 16, and verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Right, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land. So the Bible will talk about how God drove him out of the presence of the Lord. In the real sense, you see that Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. That's similar to what happened to Adam. Look at Genesis 2, Genesis 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden will be used to speak about temple, right? We said that over time. That's why you see the word to dress and to keep is not the work of a gardener in a garden, but the work of a priest in the temple. We said that over time. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of all trees or every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil altogether. So what tree was God offering to man out of his love? The tree of life. Don't forget, in him was life, and life was in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God gave the tree of life. In the real sense, what did man do? Man rejected it. In man rejecting it, what was the implication of that? Man by default brought the consequence of sin, which is death. Like we said, inbuilt in sin is death. So man rejected. So how did man eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Man ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil by rejecting the tree of life, which is supposed to be light to man. I would get that, which is supposed to be that which was given out of the love of God to man. So at what point was God love from the beginning? God has always been love. At what point did God stop being love? No point. At what point did God start being love? God has always been love. So there's no point or time that God would have been considered as the one who kills to steal and kills who steals and destroys. When we see killing, stealing, destruction, let's attribute it to the works of the wicked one. It is what it is. Altogether, right? It is what it is. That's why I always tell you. So we clearly see God in the midst of man. Instead of God to kill man, man kills God. Let me say differently. Instead of God to kill man, God surrenders himself to man for man to kill him, to kill him. Altogether. Right? Don't forget, Matthew 10. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Is that correct? I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as wise as serpents, be ye therefore harmless as dove. Jesus taught those words and he lived those words. It is the reality. The love of God is so overwhelming, right, that it can meet man at any point. Think about Paul. Never forget about Paul. I wish we didn't have the story of Paul, but blessed be God we did have the story of Paul. Thank God Paul didn't come from the scene or from nowhere and just appeared on the scene. No, we had this track record. We had his past. We had the previous life of Paul. We had it documented for a reason. Bless God for Luke, who puts pen to paper to write down who Paul really was. Just to let you know that who you were does not determine who you can be. Who you were does not mean that that is who you will always be. Right? Are you just willing to receive of the love of God? Unfortunately, Stephen is an example of one who was caught in the trap of the wickedness of Paul before he became born again. I'll say one more time. So there are people who will ideally lose their lives in the, let me say carefully. There are people who will lose their life behind the scene. There are people who will lose their lives, right? In the battle that is happening between the evil one, right? And what God is doing behind the scene. God, Jesus appeared to a man called Paul. Are we together? Right? Why kick ye against the bricks? Right? What an appearance. Such an experience that even lots of Christians today have not witnessed. That's how God is. The one that goes right down into the heart of an enemy with the aim of persuading for him to change, for her to change. That's God's love. That's what you call overwhelming. We can't be singing the love of God is overwhelming. And in our mind, we know it is actually overwhelming. We know where that overwhelming stops. We know the boundary. We know where the line is. No, it's overwhelming. It's never ending. That means it's infinitesimal. That means it's to infinity square infinity. Right? All the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Right? I don't deserve it. We agree. You don't deserve it. And even those who are doing the works of the devil, they don't deserve it. Are we together? Right? We don't deserve it. Are we together? I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. Exactly the point of the song. You couldn't earn it. They can't earn it. Still, he gave himself, Romans 5, the one who loves his enemy, the one who loves the sinner, but hates sin and hates evil. Praise God forevermore. Oh, blessed be God, the day, or blessed be, you know, times and seasons where men will come out in their tens and hundreds and just pray for the hearts of men who are yielding to the workings of the devil. Blessed be the day when men will come out with loud microphones and megaphones proclaiming the real, real, real love and true love of God to human race. You see what I'm saying? You see, like I said, I will listen to this and probably be like, Joshua, is that the word of God? Yeah, but I just read it out to you from scriptures. That's the word of God. Is the word of God. Like I said, you can't use the example of the president who has weaponry in his arm. So that person was trying to say that with their weapons in your backyard as a president, God has angels who are full of weapons, right? And it means that God will not watch you. God will not watch people destroy his own. Let me say something. Know what, I'll say it offline. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word to you.